Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church on this Mother's Day. This is God's host that He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Today is Mother's Day. It's a day that we remember and honor our mothers and have fitting to do so because mothers are very special people. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." George Washington said of his mother, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And the sermon this morning focuses on several mothers mentioned in God's Word who mattered. In other words, we shall be discussing mothers who made a difference in their child's life. And each of these mothers possessed extraordinary, exemplary characteristics, but we'll focus on one characteristic from each mother which stood out in her life. And our text this morning is found in several different books of the Bible, and so we review these verses and we ask that God will add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. The first verse I want us to look at is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living things. Eve is the mother of all people who have lived and who will live. She was named Eve because Eve means living. She was the first mother, and therefore she was the first to give birth to a child. And I wonder if Eve had any concept of what to expect when her first son, Cain, was to be born. I wonder if she was afraid of motherhood. No one had ever given birth before on this earth. And I wonder if she knew that being a mother was a very influential and extremely important job. Now, Eve had three sons named in the scripture: Cain, Abel, and Seth. And Genesis chapter 5 tells us that Adam and Eve had many sons and daughters, but only these three were named, and we shall look at Cain and Abel. In a fit of anger, Cain murdered his brother Abel. So Eve is not only the first mother to give birth, so far as we know from God's Word, she's the first mother to experience the death of a child. And actually, Adam and Eve lost both sons because after he murdered his brother, Cain left the area where his parents live and just began to wander the land. And since the time of Eve, it has been the responsibility, namely, of mothers to raise their children for the Lord. Our mothers bring us into the world. They raise us up. They provide for us. They nurture us, and they discipline us. So let's look at the attributes of several mothers profiled in the Bible who mattered to their children. First of all, that is the protective mother, Jochebed. Now, Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And I'm going to read from Exodus, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. Exodus 2. 1 through 4. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Moses' mother took tremendous risk to protect her son. Unfortunately, she was living as a slave among a very brutal, brutal people. The Egyptians' plan was to control the Hebrew people through the murdering of the newborn Hebrew males. But the Pharaoh who had issued this edict or who had devised this plan had a problem. The Hebrew midwives would not kill the male babies. They were allowing them to live. So Egypt, so the Hebrew people increased in spirit and in number because of this. And finally, Pharaoh told his people, whenever you find a newborn Hebrew male child, throw that child in the Nile River. Because if the Egyptian government could control the birth rate of the Hebrew race, then of course the Hebrew race would become stagnant and Egypt would have absolute control over them. So Jochebed places her son Moses in this papyrus basket which she's coated with pitch and tar and sets him afloat in the Nile and instructs his sister Miriam to watch the basket to learn what happens to Moses. She knew that she could no longer hide him from the Egyptian people, and she feared that death would come to her son, but she had the faith. Think of it, the amount of faith it took for her to place this tiny baby in a basket and set him afloat in the Nile River. But she had faith that God would protect Moses. And Moses' sister Miriam watched from a distance as she saw Pharaoh's daughter find the basket and rescue Moses. And she, Miriam, goes to the princess and says, I can find a woman to take care of this child for you. And the princess says, please do. And it ended up that Jochebed, Moses' mother, became his nanny. You know, mothers have protected us in so many ways. They have protected us physically and kept us from danger. They have protected us morally by teaching us right and wrong. And many times, moms have protected us emotionally by keeping us from situations that they knew would cause hurt and pain to us. Mothers have protected our spirits and raised us to love and serve the Lord. Well, now let us look at a second mother who mattered, the supportive mother, and that's Hannah, whose son was Samuel. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, talking about Hannah and talking about Samuel, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah, who was barren for years and years, prayed to God. And God gave her a son. And she, in turn, gave the son back to God. It was sort of like one of those deals that she made with the Lord. Lord, you give me a son, and I shall give him back to you. So at the appropriate time, she takes Samuel to the priest at Shiloh and left him with the priest to become a servant of the Lord. And I think we can learn three things from this supportive mother, Hannah. Number one, that God answers prayers regarding children. Number two, that we should give our children to the Lord to use as He sees fit. And number three, we should support our children, moms, as they serve and do the Lord's will. Third, we come to the instructive mother Eunice. Now, many of you may or may not remember Eunice, but she was a wonderful mother who changed the world through her children. She was the mother of someone that we all know, Timothy. Timothy was one of Paul's main associates in all of his journeys. Paul relied on Timothy, and Timothy first joined Paul when Paul came to Lystra, where Timothy was living. And we know that Timothy supported Paul even when he was in Rome imprisonment. Timothy, along with his mother and grandmother, were Jewish believers who heard about Jesus and accepted him as Savior. Listen as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of his life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So here, Timothy's grandmother and mother had accepted Jesus as their Savior. And this faith that was demonstrated by Timothy as he went with Paul to spread the gospel, and as he and Paul were berated and sometimes persecuted and spat upon and shunned on many of their journeys, he exhibited this faith that was handed down, I assume, from his grandmother to his mother, Eunice. They, the grandmother and mother, were examples of faith to him. He didn't have to be told about faith by Paul or some other evangelist. He could see faith at work in his mom and his grandmothers. And so I ask you, mothers and grandmothers today, how much time do you spend talking to your children and grandchildren about Jesus? Should they not hear it first from you as opposed to someone else? And finally, we turn to the loyal mother, Mary. John 19:25a states, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Jesus' mother Mary was standing at the cross when her son was crucified, when her son experienced a horrible, horrible death. She was loyal to him until his death. You know, mothers have this wonderful ability to be loyal to their children, to defend them, regardless of whether it's a school teacher that's maybe picking on them or a bully down the street, or maybe even a sibling, the one being picked on, she tends to defend. She's loyal to them. Mothers do not give up on a child, regardless of what they do and how they act. Now, this doesn't mean that moms condone a child's sin or approve of a child's sin. And many of us have moms who probably had every right to give up on us as we were growing up, yet they hung in there and were loyal to us. So to the moms who protected us, who supported us, who instructed us, and who were loyal to us, we all say thank you. Thank you very much. And to you young moms, we implore you to protect your children, support your children, instruct them in the ways of the Lord, and be loyal to your children. And I'm going to ask you mothers here today to listen as I talk about a strong mother versus a mother of strength, and see which one you think you are. A strong mother exercises every day to keep her body in shape. A mother of strength kneels in prayer to keep her soul in shape. A strong mother is not afraid of anything. A mother of strength shows courage in the midst of her fear. A strong mother will not allow anyone to get the best of her. A mother of strength gives the best of herself to everyone. A strong mother makes mistakes and avoids making the same ones in the future. A mother of strength realizes life's mistakes can be God's blessings, and she capitalizes on them. A strong mother walks sure-footedly. A mother of strength knows God will catch her if she falls. A strong mother wears the look of confidence on her face. A mother of strength wears grace. A strong mother has faith that she is strong enough for the journey. And a mother of strength has faith the journey she takes will make her strong. I hope you refer those moms and decide which of you, and decide if you need to make some changes in your life to be a mother of strength, to call upon God to give you that strength. We know that a mom by instinct is protective and supportive and loyal to her child. But if you want those characteristics to be infused with God, to reflect God as you deal with your children, and as they see you deal with others, we invite you to accept the Lord as your Savior and let Him help you. Regardless of your age, regardless of whether your children are gone from home or still are with you there, regardless of whether they are adults or whether they are 8 months old like Louis, we invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, hymn number 279, and we invite you to stand as we sing.